Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. The congregation here at Daleville Christian Church would want me to let you know that we believe that God's Word, the Bible, comes from God, Creator, Redeemer, and Friend. God wants to communicate with us, and God uses His Word first to tell us of His love, that we might have His peace. And my task as a minister of God's Word is hopefully to speak to you today from these words, which some of them go back thousands of years, but as we believe, still able to speak to us today and speak to you in your situation. Each one of us decides in our own heart whether we will believe in God, or which God, if any, we will believe in. To leave these matters of the heart undecided is similar to leaving a boat unanchored at dock or port. One has to hope that the wind won't come up, or the storm or hurricane will land somewhere else far away. Anchors and matters of the heart should not be decided in a state of emergency. How many of us are that cool under that kind of pressure in a crisis? You could take time today or this week to consider and decide these matters. They can remain open for review, but have the basics down at least. Then you can live what you believe, always less stressful, more peaceful. I can only talk about Jesus as we read of Jesus in God's Word, the Bible. I don't know anything else to talk about. Excuse me. I can only speak with any authority on matters of my own heart. You will have to decide about matters of your heart. We have an affirmation of our faith that we share when we're together in worship. Today's from 1 Peter in the second chapter. The apostle addresses the people. We are God's own people, that we may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. The reading of God's Word for today is from Matthew's Gospel in the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. As it says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I would look again to the Bible verse, which we are considering the Bible verse of the week this week, Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. This year again, in this season before Christmas, we have turned our eyes to the angels, the messengers of our God. The ancient peoples did not have an ancient Facebook page through which to message each other. They did not have Twitter or the platform formerly known as Twitter. They didn't make TikTok videos or use Instagram. They didn't even have newspapers, and some of you know what newspapers are. The ancients had none of those forms of communication. The ancients only had human speech, the use of language. All the kings and emperors used speech in the ancient days. Everyone used speech. So did our Lord God use speech. And so we have the Word of God in the Bible, and in the Bible we read about the messengers of God. The word for messenger is angel. And particularly, I noticed the other week, God's messengers are often referred to as an angel of the Lord. Why? Because the ancients also knew that there were other angels. Not all angels are angels of the Lord. So the Bible often is sure to let us know that this angel and this angel's message is from the Lord our God. The phrase angel of the Lord appears 70 to 80 times in the Bible. But just like the kings of ancient days, just like kings and emperors, our God also used messengers to communicate. Some important international event or national event was announced in the throne room of the ruler, and messengers dashed out of the throne room to announce the news to the populace. Some messengers had to run great distances. Historians now believe that one reason the Inca Empire in the Americas was so powerful and dominant was because of the road system that the Inca people built. And along those roads, messengers ran from the throne room to the distant villages to proclaim the king's will, the king's decisions, the king's plans. Everyone in the entire Inca Empire knew within a few days what the whole Inca nation was going to do. Israel's kings, all ancient kingdoms that we know of, did use a similar system of messengers. However, we have also noticed before, God used speech and other forms to communicate with us directly. God has also used attention-grabbing effects like fire and dreams, visions. And even in dreams and visions, words are used to communicate. And so, in today's reading, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, words. The angel used words. And notice Matthew makes clear that it was indeed an angel of the Lord, a messenger from the Lord God's own throne room who has appeared and spoken to Joseph in a dream. I'm fascinated by dreams, as many of you already know. Dreams have communicated God's will to me. More often, the dreams I remember so vividly communicate God's warnings to me. And similarly, in Joseph's dream, Joseph is told that Joseph's plan to divorce Mary is not God's will. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. As you know, I'm fond of asking the Bible questions. How did Joseph know that the angel in Joseph's dream was an angel of the Lord? Did the angel have wings? And if the angel had wings, why did the angel have wings? Wings are not often mentioned as essential to angels' anatomy. The wing idea more represents the angel's rapid travel from God to humanity, from spiritual realm to physical realm. Gabriel declared to Zechariah, "I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to you to tell you this good news." The angel Gabriel stands until Gabriel is sent. And when Gabriel is sent, he's taking the word of God, the decision of God, the plans of the Almighty God to the recipient of God's message. As I mentioned, I'm fascinated by dreams. Everyone has had dreams. Everyone has had dreams throughout history. Dreams are another human connection that we all share. We just happen to be one of those civilizations that pays no attention to dreams. However, I've not been able to ignore my dreams. Even upon waking from a nightmare, the phrase, "it was just a dream," does not calm me down. The fear or terror may remain with me the rest of the day. A more positive dream also lasts longer after waking, but I don't remember the positive staying with me all day. But if you've noticed in your dreams, often the stage is set for you in the dream. In our dreams, certainly in my own dreams, I'm suddenly somewhere. In my dreams, I do not travel somewhere or arrive somewhere or go somewhere. In the dream, just all of a sudden, we are in my house in the dream, even if that house doesn't look anything like my house. I know it's my house. Even if a threat appears in my dreams, my experience is that the person is not identifiable. I don't know who is threatening me, but I know I'm being threatened. Why mention all this? Because Matthew 1, verse 20 makes perfect sense to me. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, how did Joseph know that it was an angel of the Lord? Because Joseph just knew. Joseph knew at the appearance of the angel in the dream, it was an angel of the Lord. Just as I have known in my dreams, I'm in my house, although it looks nothing like my house. Joseph, maybe not knowing what angels usually look like, Joseph knew that this angel was an angel of the Lord. And knowing that this was an angel of the Lord, Joseph knew that the words communicated to Joseph were from God. Almighty. And the angel of the Lord was communicating the will of God, the plans of God, the actions that God wanted Joseph to take. And so we read, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that the angel calls Joseph son of David? When you and I just read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, that Joseph's dad name was Jacob. Is the angel wrong? Did the angel go to the wrong person in a dream? No, of course not. We can assume that Joseph knew he was of the house of David, but Joseph would not, in real life, be addressed as son of David. Joseph was more often addressed as son of Jacob. But the angel declares what Joseph knew and what God knew. Joseph was of the house and lineage of David, the great king of Israel, to whom God had made promises. The time had come for God's promise fulfillment. The time had come for the Lord to fulfill the words of the prophet Isaiah, spoken hundreds of years before. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a child, a son, will be born, Emmanuel. And you and I know the whole story. We cover the reports of Jesus' birth every year. But if you were reading Matthew's gospel and you just finished verse 23, Emmanuel, God with us, you would only know that God had done God's part in fulfilling the prophecy of the prophet of Isaiah, spoken hundreds of years before. If you'd read up to verse 23, chapter 1 of Matthew, that's not the climax of the report. This verse is full of tension because if you're a human being, reading verse 23, we still don't know what Joseph would do. If you're a human being, believer or non-believer, you know lots of people don't do the will of God, even if the will of God is directly communicated with them. Am I right? Anyone want to amen that? If you're a human being, believer or non-believer, you know lots of people who don't do the will of God, even if the will of God is directly communicated to them. Amen. There's a great part of the history in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapters 42 and 43. Long story short, the people of Judah, the kingdom of Judah, were running from the kingdom of Judah because of the imminent threat of disaster, of invasion from Babylon's armies that were at the doorstep. A group of God's people went to the prophet Jeremiah to ask if God wanted them to run away. Jeremiah said he will ask the Lord for them and bring an answer. and the people promise they will do whatever the Lord God says for them to do. 10 days later, Jeremiah brought the Lord's answer that they should not run away, but remain in the land of Judah. The leaders of that group responded that Jeremiah was lying to them and that they were going to run away anyway. And those people did run away. Those people came to ruin, of course, as the prophet had also told them. The people, having promised to do the word of the Lord, refused to follow the words of the prophet of God, Jeremiah. So reading Matthew up to verse 23, we still don't know what would happen with Joseph after Joseph had his dream. So Matthew tells us right away. When Joseph woke up, Joseph did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. Joseph went ahead with the betrothal contract, married Mary, prepared for the baby's birth, and when Jesus was born, Joseph gave the child the name Jesus, just as the angel had instructed. The name Jesus meaning he saves, or he saves his people from their sins. And because Joseph married Mary, who was having a baby that was not Joseph's, Joseph, by marriage, made that boy Jesus another generation of the son of David, just as the prophecies had said. Messiah will fulfill the words of the prophet. Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. Jesse, the father of David. And in Isaiah chapter 9, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen? Yes. Amen. I mentioned as the season began weeks ago, the Christian faith and the Jewish faith are revealed religions. Not every religion in the world is a revealed religion. That is, God shows us the truth. The truth is not something that we will come up with on our own. Human beings will never discover the truth on their own. The Christian faith and the Jewish faith are exclusive. The Bible is the only written revelation of God to humanity. Everything else is a wrong direction. A wrong direction since it or they cannot lead you into a relationship with the one true God who has revealed himself. And if we were going to ask the question, why are there angels in your manger scene, or why do we talk about angels at Christmas, this is the reason. The only way you're going to understand why Jesus' birth is special was to hear it from God's own mouth. Here with Joseph, the messenger of God proclaimed to Joseph that God was at work in the birth of this child. God was revealing truth through this baby to be born. The Bible continues to teach us about our God and his ways in the world. Maybe we don't have to be told again. And so often with humans, even Christians, we don't have to be told, but we do need to be remindered. Isn't that so true? We keep reading the Bible to be remindered about what Jesus said plainly and clearly, and what God claims plainly and clearly. Before the Lord died for you on the cross, the Lord came to earth to get you and be in a relationship with us all. Our Lord God, King of the universe, humbled himself to be like us. God condescended to be like us to save us, including you and me. Our hope is not that everyone else will shape up. Our hope is not that God will fix everyone around us. Our hope is that our Lord is going to save us. And yet that's part of God's will that we all have trouble with. We often think we want to be saved from our neighbor's sins. But that isn't God's promise. The promise is the angel of the Lord declared to the shepherds, "I bring you a good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." He's the Messiah, the Lord. Today, we're celebrating that God intends to save us. And God is making the offer an open offer. Your sinful neighbors get the same offer you get. God is revealing God's will. God has revealed God's intention to save any and all who will turn to God in Christ as Jesus, as Savior. It's the will of the King of the universe. And this is the love of God. God himself has revealed that God himself has come to you, and God himself has come for you. You and I can be saved. God has willed it. We only have to say yes to God's gift. We can be saved. The angels cried out, shouted, or sang. Alleluia. Amen.